Foundations Lesson Number 1, The Word of God, Part 3. Roman numeral number 2 on our outline says that the Bible is powerful. Jesus used the Word of God to overcome the devil's temptations in the desert. You can read about that in Matthew 4, 1 through 11. In that passage of Scripture, the devil tempted Jesus in three different ways. Each time, Jesus replied by saying, "It is written." He said, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. It is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Three temptations were met the same way, it is written. If Jesus relied on God's word, how much more then do we need this power? The scripture compares God's word to a fire. Jeremiah chapter 20 verse 9 says, "But if I say, I will not mention him or speak any more in his name, his word is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones. I am weary of holding it in. Indeed, I cannot." Also like a hammer. Jeremiah 23:29. "Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces?" And also a sharp double-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Ephesians 6:17. "Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God." If you're in a battle where swords are being used, and you have a sharp double-edged sword at your side, if your enemy doesn't believe that your sword is an effective instrument of warfare, are you going to leave your sword in its scabbard? Are you going to use or not use the weapon at your disposal based on what your enemy believes? Of course not. You're going to use it because it is sharp and it is powerful. What the person on the other side of the battle line believes about it is irrelevant. In the same way, when you're battling the kingdom of darkness, it's a good idea to speak God's truth, even if those opposing us don't believe in the Bible. Let's remember that God's ability to touch them is not restricted. God is able to use his word to impact their lives even if they don't acknowledge its authority. God's word is powerful. And so on our outline, we have a list of several things that the power of the word of God can and will accomplish. First, the power to save. 1 Peter 1, starting in verse 23. "For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." In the summer of 1978, my father was in the hospital, and I knew that his condition was serious. A friend handed me a Bible and told me that if I believed, I could always pray. As a good atheist, I didn't want to believe, and I certainly didn't want to pray. But, like any good debater, I felt it would be a good idea for me at least to be familiar with my opponent's position. So, starting in mid-July of that year, I read that Bible starting at the beginning like you'd read any other book, just to see what it said. By the time I got to the book of Daniel in the Old Testament, the vision of the ram and the shaggy goat were a bit too much for me, so I skipped over to the New Testament in late August. On September 26, in my college dormitory, I asked Jesus to come into my life as Lord and Savior. So in just under 2.5 months, there was a complete turnaround in my life spiritually. Why? There's power in the Word of God. God's Word is powerful to save even atheists. Next, God's Word is powerful to overcome sin. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." A preacher from California told the story of how he was in a city far away from home teaching at a conference. He got on the motel elevator and pressed the button for the 7th floor, which is where his room was. Just then, 2 scantily clad young women got on the elevator. Since he was next to the floor buttons, he asked them which floor they would like to get off at. One of them seductively replied, "What about 7? The preacher later testified that right then, he didn't think of the heartache his family would have to endure if he committed adultery. He didn't even think about how doing such a thing would wreck his ministry. At that moment, the only thing that flooded his mind was the Word of God. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. He told the ladies he wasn't interested. There's power in the Word of God to overcome sin. Then there's power to set us free. John 8:31 and 32. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Lies keep us in bondage, but it's the truth of God's Word that'll set us free. Some people don't want to hear the truth about their own deficiencies and shortcomings. They'd rather believe the lie that they're doing perfectly well than to have to deal with the truth that they need to change. By the way, we all need to change. If we would just accept the truth of what God has to say about our failings as well as our wonderful position in Him, we could be set free, because there's power in the Word of God to set us free. No addiction, no bondage, no ingrained habit is more powerful than God's message. Then there's power to nourish us spiritually. Hebrews 5:12 through 14 says, "In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil." Here the author of the book of Hebrews is telling his readers, "Hey, you should be growing up faster than you are. You still need milk, not solid food." The good news is that the Bible has plenty of milk in it for the newborns, plenty of meat for the mature, and all kinds of spiritually nutritious fruits and vegetables to help any of us in any situation that we could possibly find ourselves in. Regardless of where you or I may be in our spiritual development, there's food in God's holy word that will nourish us to grow stronger in Christ, that will bring us closer to Him. Comparing the Word of God to food also shows us how badly we're in need of God's message. If our physical bodies don't have food for long enough, we die. But what food is to the body, God's message is to our spirit. If we don't feed on the Word of God, we die spiritually. And the spiritual is far more important than the physical. It's a great tragedy that some believers are starving themselves, doing great damage to their spirits by not feeding on the Word of God. Going on, the Word of God has power to produce faith in us. Romans 10:17 says, "Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ." After having over 40 years of ministry under my belt, I can tell you that those people I've known who've read their Bibles daily, who accepted the importance of Bible reading and disciplined themselves to do so every day without fail, they had a much stronger faith than those who didn't. In fact, the difference has been so clear that it's obvious to any onlooker. Why? Because, as our scripture declares, faith comes from hearing the message. That's the most important way that our faith comes to us and grows in us. When we read God's sacred word, we hear His message. Next, God's word has power to equip us. 2 Timothy 3. "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." For over 15 seasons, I've worked as a professional tax return preparer. I've traveled to many classes and seminars, read many periodicals, took many courses, and studied lots of material in order to be properly equipped to do that job. As believers, our existence has great purpose, and we've been called to accomplish much. The verse we just read identifies one of those jobs as doing good works. If we want to be properly equipped for this job, and other jobs as well, knowing the Scripture is essential. The Word of God has power to equip us. Next, the Word of God has power to guide. Psalm 119, verse 105. "Your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path." This verse refers to someone who's trying to walk when it's dark out, so he needs light in order not to stumble. The comparison being made is that as we walk through this life, we can avoid stumbling because God's Word is like a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. We can see where we're going because the Bible gives us guidance. It's also important for us to know what God has already said, because what God has said yesterday will never contradict what he is saying today. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, his words from yesterday will still be in harmony with his words today. So the better we know his written word, which he spoke yesterday, the better we'll be able to discern what he's speaking today. God is a speaking God, and the words he speaks are pure, holy, and infallible. But our ears are not error-free. Knowing the Bible helps keep us on the path of the straight and narrow. There was a young couple at a large church where I was a member years ago. They were not married, but they were considering living together. So they decided to pray together that if God was not in favor of their living together in an unmarried state, that he would, within the next 10 minutes, send someone to the door. When no one came to the door within the allotted time, this couple felt they'd received approval from God for their plans. They were in error. God has already said in his word, "But among you there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." That's Ephesians 5:3. There are some matters of guidance we simply don't need to pray about, because God has already made his will on the subject plain in the scripture. Then, God's word has power to make us wiser than our teachers. Psalm 119, verses 99 through 100 says, "I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than all the elders, for I obey your precepts." Now, I hope that you meditate on the word of God and obey its precepts. And because you do, if you then have more insight than your teachers, please do me a favor. Don't boast about it. That wouldn't help you or anyone else. The Bible says knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. So even though we clearly see the power of the word of God here, let's be humble in the way we implement it. Next, there's power to see prayer answered. John 15:7, Jesus is speaking. He says, "If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you." When we see the word "if" in Scripture, we should pay special attention. Most of God's promises to us are conditional, meaning if we do so and so, then he will do this and that. So the key to receiving those blessings is for us to do our part. God is always 100% faithful to do his part, but we have to meet the conditions in order to qualify. So in the verse we've just read, the great promise from the Lord is that we get to ask whatever we wish and it'll be given to us. That's powerful. But there's an if, and it gives us two conditions that we have to meet. We must remain in him, and his words must remain in us. So when his words remain in us, that helps us be positioned to see our prayer request answered by the Lord. That's cause for rejoicing. Going on, God's word has power to accomplish God's purposes. Isaiah 55:11, God speaking, he says, "So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." Several years ago, I got a phone call from a man I'll call Mike. I'd been Mike's pastor for maybe 2 years, and he'd left our church, and I'd lost track of him. I loved Mike. It was a real joy having him in our church. He was calling from far away, and he wanted to encourage me. He said, "Do you remember when I was leaving your church and you tried to tell me that it was a mistake? Well, I didn't listen to you then, but I want you to know that you were right. I was being stubborn and I paid for it. But God's word doesn't return void. It accomplishes the purpose for which he sent it. I've remembered the things you taught me. I'm serving God today. So don't be discouraged when people don't listen. God knows how to get a hold of them later on. You just keep on doing what you're doing." When I heard that, I wanted to crawl through the phone line and give the guy the biggest hug that I had. Mike was a living testimony that God's word will always accomplish the purpose for which he sent it. It has the power to do that. And then, God's word has the power to keep us from error. Matthew 22:29, Jesus is speaking to the Sadducee, says, "Jesus replied, 'You are in error because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God.'" From this statement of Jesus, we can gather that if the Sadducees had known the scriptures and the power of God, they wouldn't have fallen into the error they believed. God's word is truth. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, prayed with and for his disciples. You can read his prayer in John's Gospel, chapter 17. In verse 17 of that chapter, he prays, "Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." God's word is true and reliable, and it has the power to keep us from error. It also has the power to benefit us greatly if we apply it to our lives. Psalm 19, verses 7 through 11. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. By keeping them there is great reward." By the way, if you find yourself feeling restricted or burdened by any of the requirements of God, please understand that his commands are not burdensome. 1 John 5:3 says so. You and I may have to get our feelings to line up with the Word of God, but the truth is that the huge benefit we gain by living in harmony with God's desires far outweighs any sacrifice we may have to make along the way. Then on the outline I just wrote down, "and much, much more," so that everyone would be able to see that this is not an exhaustive list. Far from it. The more you and I walk with the Lord, the more we'll discover the power in His Word. Amen.